morning. What a joy to be here this morning. I hope that you're excited about what God is doing in your lives. Because if you're not, then you're missing something. And I hope that God continues to work in your life and bring joy and happiness to you as an individual and to those people around you. Over the last several weeks now, probably a month or two, we've been in the book of Ephesians, and we've been kind of kicking the tires of Ephesians, trying to figure out, what's going on and the big picture of where we're at. And over the last 2 weeks, anyway, we've looked at some pretty heavy stuff in the book of Ephesians, and I think you'd agree with that. You know, we've been talking about some things that really cut to the quick, and are difficult to talk about sometimes. And, you know, the rest of Ephesians carries on with some of that theme. But, you know, today we pause in the middle of chapter 5 and we look at some things that are somewhat refreshing. And so I'd like to ask you if you would bow with me for a moment of prayer before we continue on with this book of Ephesians. Father God, we do pause before you today because, Father, we recognize you as the creator of all things. Father, sometimes the things that you have created within us cause us to go off the rails. Sometimes, Father, when we embrace them in ways that you call us to embrace them, they bring us incredible joy and contentment. So, Father, as we open your word this morning, as we look at some of these things that you have instructed us about, I pray, Father, that you would lighten our hearts, that we would be the recipients of the joy that you have empowered us with, and we can share that with others. So guide us, Father. Help us as we study, as we contemplate, as we listen, as we speak. And I pray, Father, that you would give me guidance, especially this morning, as I speak to your people. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Long time ago, it seems like, more years far back than what I give credit for, in my other life, other than my Christian life, I was a tobacco farmer, and some of you may know that, some of you may not know that, but I grew probably about 300 acres of tobacco in Rhodesia, and I was a pretty big operator. It wasn't mine, I worked for somebody, and we employed about 700 people in peak season, and it was a pretty big operation. But tobacco and corn were the primary crops that we grew. And in growing those crops, I realized and learned very specifically that the best form of weed control was to have a good stand of seed when you planted it. And in order to have a good stand of seed, you had to prepare the soil right, and then you sowed it at the right time, and you hoped and prayed that God would bless you with rain. And as the crop grew, it shaded out all of the weeds that would grow whether you planted them or not. Have you ever noticed that? If you have gardens at home, we used to think a garden at home was a flower garden until we moved to Texas and we realized that when you spoke about gardens at home, you were talking about vegetable gardens, and one of the elders in the congregation had heard Ida say that she wanted a garden, and we came home one day during the week and he had plowed up about a quarter of an acre for us to plant a garden. And so we learned different facts about life. But one of the things that we did learn was that when you plant a garden, you know, weed control is important if you want to reap the benefits of what you plant. And one of the greatest ways to ensure that, especially in a farming capacity, was to make sure that you had a good stand of the seed that you planted. And that blanked out any opportunity for weeds to really take hold and grow. I guess one of the greatest ways for us to keep our hearts pure is to focus on the things of God. And that's what this text focuses on. If you listen to what Noah read, and if you read on down through to verse 21 as well, this whole pericope is the technical term, I guess, but this whole little section here really pauses from the heavy language talking about sex and stuff like that before, and talking about relationships, which will come immediately after this. This little section focuses on how we can lift up our hearts and give us some internal encouragement. And one of the best ways that we can do that is to keep our hearts pure by filling it with wholesome thought and song constantly. And that's what we hear here in this passage of Scripture. Over the last couple of weeks, we spoke about new garments and old garments, about new things and old things, about a new way of life and an old way of life, about putting out the old life and embracing the new life and walking in the light as God is in the light. And we spoke about all of those things, and we spoke very specifically about some of the things that are huge within our society. I asked some folk last week, after Sunday, on Monday and Tuesday, what did I preach on last Sunday? And the one word answer I got from several people was sex. That certainly was a focal point of where we were at. But that's not what it was really all about. It was about putting things in the right perspective, and it was about putting our lives into the hands of God in a wholesome, healthy manner. And I recognize that that is hard material to process. And it's difficult when we especially live in a sex-saturated world. And it's even more difficult when over the years we have had thoughts come into our minds and our lives that have driven us, and we do it by remote control. We don't even think about some of these things anymore. And so it's difficult, extremely difficult, to move away from an addictive nature. And it doesn't just have to be alcohol and drugs, but it's a whole lot of different things in our lives. And now it seems to me that God pauses and He gives us an inspiring interlude that allows us time to kind of catch our breath and process and think about the things that He's already spoken to us in chapter 4 and 5. And it's an area that is highly charged with emotion as much as the things that He has already spoken to us about and the things that He will continue to speak about. And whenever we deal with emotional subjects, it becomes very difficult for us to try to process it all in a short space of time. We've got to sit down and think about it and meditate on it and let it process through our lives. It requires that we sit down and meditate. And that's something that we don't do really well in our culture today, is to stop and just meditate and think about things. Certainly, that's true in my life, it may not be in yours. And so our attention is drawn to this passage of Scripture, and the more that I read chapter 5, the more that I felt compelled to take this passage of Scripture out and put it on a platform so that we can all breathe. So how do we walk in the light? How do we walk in a Christian perspective that is full of joy and happiness and hope and encouragement and confidence? How do we walk in that light? And especially when we look at it against the background of what we've been speaking about and what is yet to come in this text. I believe the answer is simply found in the fact that we walk in the Spirit of God. We walk being assisted by the Spirit that has been promised us, that takes us beyond the elementary teachings that are foundational and cannot be changed, that takes us beyond that into a realm of maturity and understanding. It takes us into a realm of harmony and unity and peace and love with one another. And so, as we look at that, God picks up this theme that He has described to us back in the beginning of chapter 4, when we moved from the elementary things into the practical things of life. And if you look in chapter 4 in the first 6 verses, it speaks about the fact that we are entreated to walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling with which we've been called. And we've all been called to walk in a manner that reflects and honors Christ. And so God speaks to us about that, and He exhorts us to make our daily walk in the likeness of Jesus. It's not a thing that is uncommon to Scripture. It's not a thing that's uncommon to most all of us. And that's why we're here. That's why we chose to be assembled today, to be encouraged to walk in the likeness of Jesus. Jesus, the man who said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father also," reflecting on the fact how crucial it is that we have an understanding of who God is. And so in the midst of all of my reading and all of my study and praying about this whole concept, I recognize that at the core of this passage of Scripture comes verses 18, 19, and 20. Passages that are very familiar to most all of us, and especially those of us who have been a part of the church for a long time. And it speaks about music. And it speaks about singing. And when we look at this passage of Scripture in the context of the whole book of Ephesians, and maybe more specifically in the 5th chapter of Ephesians, we read that music has a critical part in our development, and not only in our development, but in our mentality and attitude towards life. And so when I looked at that, I looked back into, you're familiar with who Google is? I looked at Google and I asked Google, you know, to help me in my discovery about what was going on. And what I discovered was there is very, very little evidence of music in the first century. Now we get into the 2nd and 3rd century, there's a whole lot more. But in the early church, right back in the beginning, there's very, very little evidence about music. In fact, there's less than 70 fragments that have been found of that era. And so, there's not a whole lot that's there. But what is abundantly clear, when you look at this whole concept in the big picture, is that music was regularly a part of worship. It was very much a part of the whole ancient world, not only in terms of Christian worship, but also in pagan worship, in Jewish worship, and any other form or capacity of worship. But within the Christian concept, singing was a part of building up the body of Christ. It was very much a part of a celebration and an instruction together. It wasn't just a matter of selecting songs to entertain people. It wasn't a matter of just selecting songs because they sound nice or they sound good or they're appropriate to our culture. But really, they were a part of celebrating who the Christ was in His pointing us to God. And it was part of an instruction that would help us to make it through the week. And so singing was a critical part of everything that the early Christians did. This text, as well as similar passages, indicate that singing was then, as it is today, a central part of who we are. And sometimes I confess that I sit down and I don't sing because I'm overwhelmed by the melodious harmony that comes from within our congregation. Not always that way, is it? Sometimes it is. And when we all sing out, and we sing in harmony, there's nothing more beautiful. There is nothing more encouraging. When people don't sing, and we're all out of tune, it's horrible. Right? And so, we make the difference. It's not just the song leader. It's an attitude of the heart. And it's how we approach what we do in terms of the component of what we call worship in the assembly together. There's nothing that I can say that would emphasize any more than what I think you already know. The importance of singing us, the importance of music in our lives. But what we can do is we can look back into Scripture, we can look back into antiquity, and we can see that there are evidences that the people back then sang not only about the things that had recently happened in terms of the crucifixion of Christ, but what they sang more predominantly about was the hope that they had because of His resurrection. Because of the empowerment that He had given them to be able to withstand the onslaughts of temptation that came their way that are just as ferocious as the onslaughts on our lives today. And so we can take that away, that is absolutely certain that is there. We look at the text, and in verse 14 of chapter 4, Paul recites an old bit of prose or poetry. And when we look at this passage of Scripture here in verse 14, really it is summing up the words that probably were sung back then. And I know I'm making an assumption here, but I think it's a reasonable assumption based on what the text speaks about. And it's a call that is calling people to wake up and to rise up and to live in the light of Jesus. And isn't that the call that we need to have today as well? And this is just an example about what we ought to be about as we assemble together. To praise God and to encourage one another. So that we would raise up and look for Jesus. And that's what it's all about. That's what makes us distinctively different from the world that we live in. This text and others don't seem to see singing just as a decorative part of what we do when we assemble together. It's certainly not entertaining. But it has very specific instruction and a very specific result from what we do. Singing in this context, whether we sing aloud or whether we sing in our heart, is an excellent way of practicing faithfulness. And I think that's a point that we need to focus on as we look at this text. And we need to understand as we struggle to develop faithfulness in our own lives. As I spoke about earlier on in terms of my farming abilities, such as they were, and about keeping your garden clean from weeds, we recognize that because that's tangible. Most all of us have tried to keep gardens, whether they're vegetable gardens or flower gardens. And the biggest battle we have is the battle against weeds. They just seem to grow from nothing. They just appear. Whoops, there they are. Last night when I went to bed, they weren't there. Tonight when I look at my garden, there they are. Where do they come from? And so, it's a beautiful analogy about our life and the sinful activities, the things that we do that dishonor God, just almost miraculously pop up in our lives. And they're there and we have to deal with it. Well, if we take the same analogy of a garden and we apply that into our spiritual lives, then if we don't want our hearts to go off wandering and focusing on the weeds that grow up in our lives, then what we need to do is so fill our hearts and our minds with things of God that there's no place for them to grow. And one of the best ways that we can do that is according to this instruction that Paul gives us here in verses 18, 19, and 20. That we would be spiritually oriented in singing songs, in filling our minds and our hearts with words of praise, and communicating that to one another. You see, this passage of Scripture is not talking about public worship. that this passage of Scripture is an interlude of joy in between these heavy discussions that God has given us about sex, about relationships, about things that just absolutely dominate our lives. And He's given us a moment where we can breathe and reflect on the fact that it is God, and if we fill our lives with the things of God, then our lives are going to be substantially easier to live. And they're not going to be encumbered so much by the weeds of life. And so that's what He's speaking about. And so when we sing songs, not only when we're assembled together, but when we're driving, we're in our home. How many people here do not have MP3s or cell phones? Well, if you're under the age of 12, you don't count. And if you're over the age of 70, you don't count. Most all of us have access to those. How many times do you see people walking around doing what they're doing with those little white things dangling from their ears, and they're not earrings, they're earphones. So what do we listen to? What do we fill our minds with? Technology has made it so much easier for us to focus on God today. So much easier. And so Scripture speaks to us about, if we don't want our lives to be consumed by all of these weeds of life, these activities in life that take us away from focusing on God, if we don't want our lives to be consumed by them, what God is telling us in this passage of Scripture, He's saying, focus your life on these spiritual activities. And music is a key component of all of that. See, the instruction that Paul gives us here in, and I've lost myself here, but the instruction that Paul gives us here in verse 18 and 20, he says, don't get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Think about that for a moment in terms of the contrast that Paul has already given us in chapter 4 and 5, and he will give us in the latter part of chapter 5 and chapter 6. He's contrasting the life between living for God and living in the world. And the world gets drunk on wine. It's the wrong spirit, folks. But the Christian gets filled with the Spirit of God. And when we're filled with the Spirit of God, one of the components that seems to be of importance is the fact that we speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. And so, the picture that's being painted here is a picture of joy and happiness. The instruction that's been given to us is an instruction that if we don't want our lives to be consumed by these sinful activities that we've spoken about already, that can be good but oftentimes is used for bad, and the same as what's going to be coming, if we don't want to be consumed by that, then we need to intentionally fill our lives with something that is wholesome and good. This passage of Scripture is not a proof text passage that says that we need to sing a cappella in our worship. There's other passages of Scripture in the Bible that address that. But this passage of Scripture is a passage of Scripture in context that is saying to us that if we want to live a spiritual life, we have to consume ourselves with spiritual things. And when we consume ourselves with spiritual things, we will share those things with one another that would be an encouragement to them, rather than talking about all of the stuff of life that is subversive. Interesting to stand in the foyers of church buildings and listen. listen to the content of conversation of people as they assemble together, having not seen one another for a week or so. Interesting to hear the content of the conversation. And if we intend to be spiritual, then the content of our conversations need to be focused on spiritual things. And so what God is doing for us in the midst of speaking about all of these big issues, difficult issues to deal with in our lives, the issue of sex, the issue of relationships, both of which are absolutely critical to our lives and to our stability. Right in the middle of all of this, He's giving us an antidote that helps us to live ourselves and to lift ourselves out of the dark world that is surrounding us. That's exactly what God's been instructing us to do. Chapter 4, chapter 5, and in chapter 6. And now, as He instructs us with that, He pauses and He encourages us to focus on this antidote. This little bit in the middle here that helps us to understand the value of who we are. And so God gives us this fresh air. He raises up out of this text that is heavy with instruction about difficult subjects, and He gives us some freshness before He moves on to talking about relationships. I've spoken to a couple of people, and I've told them that Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22 is coming up. And some people have said, well, yep, I'm glad you're going to get there, because wives need to submit to their husbands, right? We'll get there next week. So by your response, I understand that you recognize what I'm talking about. And there's a godly way to look at that, and there's an ungodly way to look at that. And if we allow the weeds to grow in our garden, that is our life, then we will look at it in an ungodly manner. So here are some words from antiquity that call us to wake up. Verse 14. Wake up. Rise up. Rise from the dead. Rely on the Messiah, who has already risen, who has already given us the victory. Rise up from this basis of this foundation that has been laid in Christ, a foundation that is non-negotiable. Rise up from that and develop and allow the Spirit to invade your life and to be a part of your mind and a part of all that you are. Let His light shine in us. And we can only do that when we allow His instruction to be a part of us. And then we'll be able to walk in the light as He is in the light. And we will not be going down that dark alley that takes us into those dark places in the world. And so, beloved, as we look at this text, as we pause and think about it, as Christians, I believe that we're to see every day, every hour, every minute as an opportunity that God is giving us to serve God. We're to see the life that God has given us as an opportunity for understanding in this moment, right now, who I am and what I am and what my purpose is and how that I am an intricate, valuable part of the plan of God. Just the same as every one of us is. And I understand that as God calls me to be that, He has empowered me with His power. And here in this passage are some of the tools that He says to us, this is how you can do it. Reflect on His Word. Spend time in His Word. Sing songs of praise. Look at material that is praiseworthy, that is honoring God. Fill your life with these things, and the weeds will not take hold and grow. It's just as simple as that. I wish it was as simple to live as it is to speak. But you know as well as I know that that's where we struggle. And so the whole encouragement through this whole passage of God is an encouragement that tells us as children of God, we're to celebrate. Not just when we assemble together, but we're to constantly celebrate the fact and the hope that God has given us that we can glorify Him. To celebrate the fact that I don't have to live in a world of darkness, that I don't have to live among the weeds, that I can live in a clean, wholesome environment where I can honor God on a moment-by-moment, minute-by-minute basis. That I don't have to be drowning in sin and sorrow and despair and depression. And I recognize those things before us sometimes, and we have to deal with them. But God is calling us to lift ourselves beyond that. And one of the primary ways that we can accomplish that is by focusing on Him and learning to celebrate within the Spirit of God. To be able to sing the songs of praise and joy. To be able to dream the dreams that God has given us. To be able to accomplish the vision that He set before us. Particularly as our minds and our imaginations open up to a God who says, there is nothing that is impossible with me. So we pause in the middle of some heavy material. And God gives us this breath of fresh air. And I pray this morning that as you contemplate these things and as you walk out into this week, that you will remember that. Not only this week, but in the weeks to come. That if we want to walk in the higher echelon of the world, we need to walk with the things that God has equipped us to have. To use all of the resources that He has made available to us. His poetry, His art, His songs, His music, His literature. Everything that is out there that God has used to equip us to live a life that would honor Him. Because that's what it's all about. If you don't have that hope this morning, then maybe today's the day that you need to start. And it starts with your choice and your decision. You want to continue to cultivate the weeds in your life? Or do you want to continue to cultivate the goodness that God has brought into your life? Your choice. We can't force anybody to do any of that. But it's a decision that we all need to make for ourselves. This morning, if you haven't yet made that decision, if you're struggling with that decision, and maybe you would like to make that decision, or maybe you'd like to pray with someone and talk to somebody about making that decision, then we want you to know that we stand ready. Certainly I do, and I know there's other people in this congregation who would delight in an opportunity to pray with you and study with you and encourage you. If you have a need that we can help you with, and if you need to respond to exposing that need in a public way, maybe right now is an opportune time as together we stand and as we sing.